Episode 185, BoodleNetwork.com. Welcome inside the Yellow Studio. Kids, my name is Randy Cantrell, your host here at BoodleNetwork.com. I'd buy from you if you'd just call me back. 80% of success is just showing up, according to Woody Allen. Let's talk about it next. It's the Pareto Principle. Okay, maybe you don't know it by that name. But it turns up just everywhere you look. I mean, everywhere you look. It's the 80-20 rule. 80-20 rule. Wait a minute. What? If 80% of success is showing up, does that mean we just need to show up 20% of the time? Yeah, that's about right. That's about right. Seems like lately I've had about a 20% chance of getting service of any kind. 20% chance of getting an email returned. 20% chance of getting a phone call returned. No, wait a minute. That's too high. That's way too high. If 80% of success is showing up, does that mean 20% of the people are succeeding? Yeah, okay, wait a minute. If 80% of success is showing up, does that mean 20% of the people are succeeding? Well, maybe that's right, but that means 80% are failing? Seems kind of high, doesn't it? Well, then again, I guess it depends on how you define success. Maybe 80% of us are failing, and that would certainly explain our level of dissatisfaction. It would explain why we are all so just completely, utterly miserable. No wonder 80% of us are failing all the time. And if 80% of success is showing up, then do you ever wonder what's that missing 20% made up of? Yeah, that's what I want to know. I want to know that. I mean, come on, I know how to show up. I'm interested in what I'm missing. Other than showing up, because I feel like I know how to do that. Do you feel like you know how to do that? I think everybody probably feels like they know how to do that. Then my question is, then why don't they? Why don't they do that then? And once again, I am hit in the forehead with Professor Sutton's seminal work in The Knowing-Doing Gap. Yeah, it's an old book. Look it up. If people know they have to show up to succeed. Well, okay, if we're going to take Woody Allen's quote, to be fair, if they know that 80% of success is determined merely by showing up, then I just have one question. Then why don't they show up? They know it. They just don't do it. See, it's that infamous gap that continues to plague us. It's that gap between what we know already to do, yet we don't do it. Because we're all so busy chasing our tail because we got to learn new stuff. We got to learn the stuff that we don't know yet. It's the stuff that we don't know that's spoiling our success. Don't you get it? If we knew more, we'd succeed better. It's the fact that the guy who is succeeding, he knows more than we know. It's education. It's knowledge, you idiot. That's what's holding us back. We have got to know more. Well, the problem is, meanwhile, all the stuff that we already know, it ain't getting done. So what makes you think that you're going to learn something new and you're going to do it? You're already not doing what you know. Yeah, it's the knowing doing gap. I'm telling you, it appears as faithfully and as consistently as the 80-20 principle. It does. Mark it down. And it doesn't make any sense that we chase our tails trying to learn something that we don't yet know, while the vast majority of things that we already know to do, we're just not doing them, but it happens all the time. The sad thing is, you're not even up to the sucking level yet. Yes, I have expressed that. I have expressed that to business owners before, and salespeople, and waiters or waitresses, and store clerks, and service technicians, and the list just goes on and on. And I can hear you. I hear what you're saying, and I even hear what you're thinking. Yeah, I'm clairvoyant like that. You're thinking, man, what a grumpy old dude you must be. Well, no, you're probably thinking, what a grumpy old man you are. And I am. In some ways, I am. But I'm not hateful. I'm intolerant of poor service. Absolutely. I have never had a stomach for it. You can chalk that up to a curse of starting a career in sales when I was 16. So I come by it honestly. I'll tell you that up front. You know, people just have too many options. Too many options. Because getting customers is hard. It's hard. I don't care who tells you different. They're lying to you, because helping people make a decision to buy from you is tough work. And those of us who've spent a lifetime doing it, we know that it's tough work. I'm not saying it can't be done. That ain't it. It can be done, and it can be done successfully, and it can be done well. But anybody that wants to tell you it's easy, well, the world's full of failing businesses that know how hard it is to get a single customer. It's hard to get customers. Oh, but, you know, this business stuff, it's just not as easy as falling off a log. And, of course, then again, I wouldn't know, having never fallen off a log, which, by the way, does not seem like a pleasant thing to me, nor does it seem easy. Seems to me that it wouldn't be difficult to fall off the log, but it would be painful to fall off the log. I wouldn't want to fall off a log. I wouldn't want to be on a log in the first place. Hey, let me tell you two stories of my recent experiences. And these stories stem from a quote that I read back during the inflationary years of the late 70s. I was in the early years of my business career. Many of you weren't even likely born yet. People were fighting hard for business. We had an oil embargo that was happening, and at the time, in one of the business magazines of the day, I remember reading a quote by a lady management consultant. Don't ask me why I remember that. I couldn't tell you who she was. But I remember the quote, and it stayed with me now almost 40 years since I first read it. And here it is. We'd all buy a lot more if we could just get waited on. We'd all buy a lot more if we could just get waited on. I think of that quote almost weekly. Well, I think about it every time I encounter poor service. And yeah, that pretty much happens every week. Now, let me give you a disclaimer here. It's not much of a disclaimer, but it is a disclaimer. I admit that I may have a superior expectation when it comes to customer service. Now, I'm not high maintenance. And it's not that kind of superior expectation that I've got. You know, for instance, I'm not the guy who's going to go, maybe you've got friends or you've got acquaintances. I've been out to eat with people who did this, and it drives me insane. Do you have buddies or acquaintances who are just, it doesn't matter where you go, they are determined to order off the menu? I don't mean order from the menu. They are determined to order something that is not on the menu. They are determined to ask the waiter, can I get this and that and then this other? I mean, basically, can you custom make for me something that's not on the menu? Because I'm so special, you know. Drives me out of my mind. It's like, dude, just find something on here to order. And it really irks me when they're the ones that suggested the place that we're at to begin with. And then they still don't order, you know, from the menu. They're determined to order off the menu. And I'm not talking about a place that has something that was on the menu. Yeah, I've been to some of those places. It's no longer on the menu, but you can still order it. No, I'm talking about just something completely out of the blue, custom. Oh, no, I'm not like that. I'm just solid, do what you're supposed to do kind of expectation. That's the behavior I'm looking for. I just want solid, good service, and you just do what you're supposed to do. Now, okay, granted, do what you're supposed to do based on what I think you're supposed to do. Okay, the boss says, hey, let the phone ring 20 times. I don't agree with that, and your boss is an idiot if he tells you that. Yeah, I'm going to think, you know, you need to answer this call. You need to answer that thing on the third ring or before. It's just shocking to me. It's shocking to me how difficult it is for some people to just show up. So here's the deal. I'll omit the names and some specifics to protect the guilty. All right, hang on. Got to hit mute while I cough. Sorry about that. Yeah, I could have hit stop. I could have hit pause, but I don't roll that way. I've got this late summer cold. It kicked in 2 days ago, and it's kicking my butt. Started off with a sore throat and a runny nose, and now today, you know, the day I finally got some time where I can record, it's like, I think it's time for a cough. We're going to let the cough just take over now. All right, so I'll give you enough of the specifics, but, and these are factual, by the way. I'm not conjuring these up. I'm not making these up. The first one has to do with needing a sign. I don't mean a portable sign. I mean contacting someone on behalf of an organization that needs either a current sign, outdoor sign, repaired, refurbished, or needs perhaps a new sign. And this has been going on for a couple of weeks. Now, I used to be face-to-face. That was kind of the preference. And, of course, that morphed into phone, which has since given way to email, which I suspect very quickly is going to give way to texting, all of which I'm fine with, by the way. I'm not that guy. You know, I encounter business people. I encounter owners sometimes, and usually it will be an older person or somebody in my generation. And they really just don't understand people that just won't pick up the phone. You know, they really don't understand people that use texting. They really don't even understand people that use email. Well, you know, build a bridge and get over it. It's the way of the world. So I'm not that guy, right? I'm not fighting that trend. So I do what I think most of us probably do. I'm looking for companies in the area that can do this kind of work. So I go to Google. And I find, I think three, start off with three. Three local sign companies, all of which had contact forms. Now, I'm the guy who's looking for an email address because I have learned that contact forms are notoriously poor. The forms themselves aren't poor. It's just my odds of getting somebody to reply just don't seem very high. So it seems to me that maybe the contact form is not hooked up properly, or it goes to an email address that nobody checks. It's like a black hole. And you know it's a bad sign. You just, I'm not saying this happened, this case, but I have been, I have seen some where, you know, they want you to give them like 3 days. I mean, come on, it's electronic mail. We're not, it's not Pony Express. Why is it going to take you 3 days to reply to a contact form on your own website? Makes no sense to me at all. Okay, well, that didn't happen here, but that has happened to me before. So I go to about three different companies. They all have contact forms. I can't find an email address to send to a specific person. I don't mean an info at or sales at. I'm looking for a name. There's a hint for you. Salespeople, why don't you have your email address on the website, on the company website? And if they won't let you do that, then yeah, get a different job. I mean, what can I tell you? So here's the deal. So I fill out the form and I tell them, I give them the street address. This is where the sign is at. I just would like somebody to kind of look at this and tell me what kind of options might be available to this organization to either have this sign refurbished or possibly to even have a different sign altogether, a brand new sign constructed. This is a permanent, fixed, non-illuminated outdoor sign. And you can just hear crickets chirping. There's just, if I had a cricket chirping on my soundboard, I'd hit the button because that's all I heard. Nothing. Heard nothing. I decided I'd follow that up and place some phone calls. I'd like somebody to call me back. More crickets chirping. You know this happens to you. This happens to us all. And we're just like, we all say the same thing because I hear it. I hear it all the time from people. You know, I guess business is good. Business must be good. They must have all the business they can handle because they're not calling me back. And yet everywhere I go, people are, you know, I'll put it this way. Even if they're having a good year, they'll take more business. They're looking for more customers. I don't know anybody in any industry right now thinking, no, I don't. I don't know anybody in any industry who says, man, I got all the customers I can handle. I couldn't possibly tackle one more customer. I don't hear that. In fact, come to think of it, since the early 70s, I've never heard that. Okay, so I followed up with phone calls. So I get a young man and he calls. He returns the call. Check that. I go back to the websites and I submit via the contact form again. The second time, one of the companies, a young man, sounds like a young man, polite, professional, he responds. He calls. It goes to voicemail. I was busy in a meeting, and so it goes to voicemail. I get out of the meeting, and I check voicemail, and he's given his name, and he's given the phone number, and I'm thinking, great, great. And he's like, you know, when can we get together, and when can I look at the sign and probably take some photographs and take some measurements? And I'm thinking, hello, Bill, we're on the road here. So I call back, and I ask for him. And I get a woman who sounds like she's maybe just north of 100 years old, slightly. I'm not saying she's old, but she sounds, well, let's put it this way. She just sounds way too tired to be answering the phone. I mean, just, it was probably just exhausting to her to just reach over and get the phone off the cradle because she's just whipped. And I asked for this person by name, and the response is, he's not here. Does he have voicemail? No. Oh, do you know when he'll be back? No. I'll just try back later. You know, I'm like, I can't even leave a message for this guy. Now, this has happened to me before, right? It's not my first rodeo. And I'm thinking immediately what I always think, and this is the first point I'm going to make, first suggestion I'm going to make to you salespeople or anybody who isn't in sales. Come on, we're all salespeople. get a cell phone from your company, and if they won't buy you one, use your own. I had no way to reach this guy, right? I mean, the only number I've got is the main number. Now, he is an outside sales guy, based on my surmising, because he's never there. He's out. I'm not saying he's not working. I'm just saying he's not a guy who's sitting here camped out inside the company. All right. Mute for another cough. Sorry. You know, he's trusting the switchboard at the office. And, you know, Marge is 105 and she's just not got the energy to do the job. He's got no voicemail. You know, and I'm thinking the whole time, man, dude, if I just had a phone number where I could reach you directly, we could get this train on the tracks. But alas, it has not yet happened, and it's been a week now. So fast forward here, and I call yesterday, and I get similar response from Marge. I told you the names are changed to protect the guilty. I don't know her name. I'm making that up. Is so-and-so in? No. Well, I'd leave a message, but does he have an email? Yeah. Could you tell me what it is? And she does. And he's got one of those names that you see spelled, and sometimes it may have an E on the end of it, and sometimes not. And I said, does he have an E on the end of his name? No. Actually, she didn't say it with that much enthusiasm, now that I think about it, ordinarily that much energy. So I get the email address, and I'm thinking, great, hip, hip, hooray. I had photographs of said sign, by the way. I had six really good photographs. And so I throw him in a Dropbox, and I get the link, and I send him an email. It's been about 36 hours ago. I send the email to him. It doesn't bounce back. So, hey, we're hoping Marge gave me a good email address. I repeated it back to her, by the way, and made her confirm it. Anyway, it doesn't mean she heard me, and it doesn't mean she was listening, but she said, yeah, that's right. So I send him this, and I kind of explain, here's what I'm looking for, and here's some photographs, and give you some idea, and hopefully this will kind of get us back on track. 36 hours ago, nothing. No. Oh, and I did leave a message with Marge, by the way. I left my phone number and my name. No return phone call, no return email. That's story number one. And that's been going on for about 3 weeks. Kids, I'm in Dallas, Fort Worth, Texas. I mean, it's not like I'm in, hey, I'm from Oklahoma, and you guys from Oklahoma, don't be offended. If somebody's way up in the panhandle, you know, I mean, it's, you know, I think it's in the panhandle. I should know this. Goatee Bow, Oklahoma. Is there a Goatee Bow? Maybe there's a Goatee Bow, Texas, now that I think about it. It's just a funny name. We've always kind of used it, you know, kind of like people say 10 buck three or 10 buck four or whatever. I've grown up saying Goatee Bow, you know, it's not like I'm from Goatee Bow. I don't know anybody from Goatee Bow. If you're from Goatee Bow, let me hear from you. I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to hear what life is like in Goatee Bow. And I'd like to hear what you guys say. You know, my lands, we live here in Goatee Bow. It's not like we're in 10 buck three. And what do the people in 10 buck three say? Everybody's got to have one of those, you know. Well, I'm in Dallas, Fort Worth, Texas, man. Come on. This is not Goatee Bow. We got more than one signal light here, and we got commerce, and we got things happening and going on. And the outdoor sign business just must be terrific. You know, here we go. It must be great. They're just stumbling all over themselves with customers. I suppose they sure don't seem to need my business. So story number two, in a different city, not in Dallas, Fort Worth, but for someone that I'm doing some work for. we're going to be putting on this, you know, a small live event. And this event is going to involve a lunch, a catered lunch. And we're looking for a nice hotel in a certain city in North America to have this event. And I, as is my custom with such kinds of projects, I'm calling, I'm asking for the catering manager. I'm asking for a sales or catering manager. And I'm probably, that's how I'm asking. I need to talk with somebody in sales and catering. We had a short list of about four ideal places that we would really like to have this event. It's an event that's going to happen, in a month or so. So I got lead time here and continue to make these calls. And I can't get a single one. I don't get any on the first round of calls. None. I get transferred to voicemail in all but one. And in one, I get a real life human and I leave my phone number and a message. Oddly enough, the one where I left my phone number and a message with a live human being was the only one to call me back. None of the others called me back. I also followed that up by using their form. Now, most of these places have a contact form, and it's a more involved form. What is the date that you're kind of looking for? How many people? How large of a room? How might you like the room set up? Blah, blah, blah. I mean, these are usually a little more complicated forms, because it just helps them do a better job. And I'm appreciative. I don't mind filling those out. So I fill these out. Now let's forget all the ones that, okay, the date that I had, they just didn't have anything available. Okay. So we throw them out. That leaves everybody else left standing. And I'm down at this point, I'm down to the three or four. Started out with way more than that. Well, not way more than that, but probably twice that many. So I fill these forms out, and the first person that I get who is somewhat responsive could not be less interested in doing any business. Just really was not interested. It was as though every question, I'm not asking you to nail this down for me, I tell her, but just give me a ballpark. I mean, what am I looking at per plate for a catered lunch for a crowd of X? Yeah, just shoot me a ballpark from low to high. Oh, I might as well have been asking her to, dismantle a bomb that was ticking. I mean, it was just, we just couldn't get there from here. And I said, can you email me something? I filled out, you've got the form that I did there. Do you have my email address there? Yeah, I think so. And I said, well, here, let me give it to you. And I gave it to her. And it was just, I think she and Marge had been to the same school of energy level and talking with prospects and customers. So she emails me back, and the pricing is just insane. It's crazy. And I tried to call back, and I just couldn't get there from here. So checked her off the list. Now I'm down to three, and I can't get anybody to call me back. Can't get anybody to call me back except for the one where I got a live human being who took the message. Guy was real nice. She's not in. The person you need to talk to is not in. She'll be in a couple of hours. Can I have her call you back? Yeah, that'd be great. And she did. Eureka. I'm on to something here. I am on to something. Had a nice conversation, gave her the email, said, just, send me, what am I looking at? And the pricing was in line with what we were looking for. And she sends me, the PDF of all the specifics and room layout and the menus and the pricing and all that. We huddle on the phone about it, me and the person that I'm working with for this, and decide, we'll act on that. And so I immediately, within the last 30 hours, I send an email back and I said, sounds great. The stuff that we talked about, here's what I'd like you to do. I'd like you to write it up in a proposal that for me to act on. I mean, I'm ready to pull the trigger on something, and I'd like to pull the trigger on something before the end of this business week. Yeah, that's this week, the week that I'm recording this and releasing this. Today is, by the way, Friday, September the 20th, 2013. Dark. No response. Call. Leave message. No response. Email again. Am I going to get this proposal today? I really would. I'm needing to get this handled this week. Nothing. And I'm like, we started off so well. We just started off so well. You were showing up, and then you decided for some reason, you know, I'm going to just get the ball rolling, get this person on the road to spending, you know, some money with us, and then I'm just going to go dark. You're like, surely something happened, but no, I've called. Nobody is saying, oh, didn't you hear? You know, she got hit by a bus on the way to work. I mean, nothing. There's no explanation for any of this. It's just odd. Second point, call people back promptly. Now, not all calls need a fast response, but some do. When the prospect has done what I have done and said, listen, when the customer says, I need to make a decision and I'm ready to make a decision. I need to make, and this is all happening on like a Thursday morning. I want to make a decision before the end of this business week, which means tomorrow at, I don't know, 5:00. I think most people would consider the end of business on a Friday. And we're in different time zones. I'll put that out there, but that's fine. I'm taking into account her time zone, which by the way is Eastern and I'm Central. So her week's going to end an hour sooner than mine. And I checked right before I hit record, still nothing, just nothing. I mean, call people back promptly. Not all calls need a fast response, but some of them do. Return the call based on the promptness that the prospect needs. I told her my need. I told her my schedule. And by the way, I'm going to tell you to do this without exception. Use email. Now, I don't know how you're going to feel about this, but to each his own. Push it to and from your smartphone. You need to be available via email because many of your customers prefer it over the phone. And besides, you can reply quickly and you can set a more precise expectation. I got your message. I'm in a meeting for the next 2 hours, but I'll be back in touch by 4 p.m. today, for instance. I mean, what is that? There's two sentences that if I'm the prospect or the customer, hey, that tells me everything I need to know. Number one, it tells me you got my message. And number two, it tells me three things. It tells me you got the message and it tells me you've got the ball now. And it tells me I can expect to hear from you before 4 p.m. today. Now make good on that. Make good on that. The bottom line and the last point, really, the third point of all this for salespeople and marketing people, anybody else is trying to make a buck. And aren't we all? Give me the rules of the road and it's likely that I'm going to comply with them. And I'll go you one better. It's likely I'm just going to be happy in the process. I just need to know what you want me to do. What do I have to do business with you? Now, granted, there are going to be some people and whatever the rules are, they're not going to like them, right? You're going to have that contrarian who's determined to order off the menu. It's not listed here, but I tell you what I'd like you to do. I'd like you to, I'd like that chef salad, but leave this out and this out and this out. And instead, I'd like you to put this, that, and the other in. And by the way, I'd like those croutons. I'd like them fixed this certain way. They're going to be those kind of people. And I don't know about you. I don't want their business, right? I mean, I don't care. It doesn't matter how expensive that salad would be. Just pack it on out of here, dude. Not fixing you that salad. What was the famous Jack Nicholson scene where he wants to order toast or something and she's like, we don't have toast. He's like, well, do you have bread? He orders a chicken salad sandwich and he basically gives her some profane thing that he wants her to do with the chicken salad. Toast the bread. And now leave the chicken salad off and bring me that. That's called toast. Okay, I'm not talking about that. I mean, that's just stupid, right? I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about people that, yeah, they just want to jump you through 18 hoops. You don't need that. You don't need that. But that's a whole nother show, and it's probably one that we should have sooner than later, and that is the precision of your offer. The precision of your offer and the precision of your marketing. Because I have been involved at various times in my career of working with people that are starting up. And when you're starting up, there are some things that you're willing to do that later on you're just not, because it's just kind of the nature of the beast. I kid people in startups, you know, it's like you're walking around with a sandwich board that just says anything for a buck, because that really is kind of where you're at. You're willing to do a lot of things when you're starting out because you need the business. You need the cash flow. The problem is, it can distract you and it can be an impediment to really gaining some traction in the space where you really want to be. And I could give you, man, time would fail me to give you all the examples that come to my mind of people who just find it ridiculously hard to narrow something down and say, here's what I do. I do this or I do that. I do not do this other. It's always the other that foils us. It's always the other that just completely knocks us in the dirt, because we want to do this and we want to do that. And those are the two things that we do, and we do them well. We do this and we do that. But invariably somebody comes in ordering off the menu and say, hey, can you do this other? And we think, we need the business. Yeah, we can do this other. And it bites us in the butt every single time, doesn't it? Nobody ever comes out ahead on those deals. Nobody. I've never come out ahead on those deals. Have you? If you're from Godibo and you've ever come out ahead on those deals, I really want to hear from you, because you're special. Man, you are real special. Just tell us the rules and then maintain the rules, right? Because we want you to be fair. I mean, it's like if you tell me to stand in this line and I stand in this line and then some cat comes along and they don't stand in that line and you serve them before you serve me and I was there first, you're going to hear from me. Shoot, you're going to hear from anybody. It's got a brain in their head. Whether it's on the phone, whether it's via email, whether it's in person. And increasingly, I'm going to tell you, and who'd have thunk this, right? 56-year-old guy. And by and large, if it ain't email with me, it's text. It's text. It's a lot more text than it is cell phone. I use my, is this true for you? I'd be curious to know. Do you use your cell phone more for talking or texting? No, I'm not talking about words with friends. I'm talking about communication with real people. Yeah, I know. I can hear my wife saying they are real people. Yeah, I know. But not really. Whether it's on the phone, whether it's email, whether it's in person, 80% of success is showing up. But here's the rub. It's showing up on time. It's showing up prepared. It's showing up doing what you're supposed to do. There's a lot more to showing up than just showing up. Most, that's right, I said most, can't or won't do it. Most can't or won't show up. And I have got a lifetime of business experience that I can attest to the fact of my statement. It's just not that hard to show up your competition. It's not. It's not, because I don't care what space or industry you are in. Most of your competition is barely able to answer the phone before the fifth ring. In fact, some of them aren't able to answer the phone. And if they do pass that test, I can tell you most of them won't be able to call you back within 4 hours. And nobody is going to just call you right back. You hear that all the time. Hey, let me call you right back. Have you ever had that? Sure, we've all had that. Hey, let me call you right back. Days go by. Sometimes weeks go by. And they never do call back. And I guess, you know, you're like the spurned girl, waiting for the boy to call. He said he would call. He hasn't called, but I expect him to call. He ain't calling. You know he ain't calling. He lied like a dog. Listen, you don't have to go back to school. You don't need any high dollar training or consult. Well, check that. You might need my high dollar training and consult. No, you don't. You don't need to go learn anything that you don't already know. You need to get your act together and start acting like you want and need the business. Oh, that's terrible. Terrible advice, Randy. Don't you know? Don't you know that we have got to look like we're stars? We're gurus. Our time is so incredibly valuable. We barely have time to manage our inbox. Don't you love those people? I can help you. I can help you manage your inbox. This is not hard folks stuff. I am just in such high demand. I get so much email. I just can't possibly keep up. Well, Lottie frickin' da, aren't we so blessed to have you on the planet? Well, I'm advising you that you need to let prospects see how much you appreciate their attention. And you do that by being there when they need you. You do that by responding to them when they are ready. I don't know where we lost our minds in believing with this, some of the entrepreneurship stories that I hear today, of just all the pompousness and the arrogance and the sheer gall of it all to be, you should be just so incredibly blessed that I'm willing to consider selling you something. I'm old school. What about gratitude? What about appreciation? How about that? Yeah, how about we just show up? Might make a difference. I'd buy from you if you just call me back. I've given you two cases where that is absolutely true. My name is Randy Cantrell. I hope you'll go and download, subscribe to the podcast. What I'd really love for you to do. Well, there's actually two things I'd love for you to do, but I'm only supposed to give you one. So let me give you, okay, I'll give you one. Leave me a review over at iTunes. Preferably a really, really good one. Preferably a stellar one. 5-star and all that. I guess that's it for here. Dallas, Fort Worth, Texas is where I'm from. And thankfully, we've got rain today because we've got a big drought. I don't know if you're not from around here. Heavy drought conditions for years. We need the rain, so we're getting it, thankfully. Dallas, Fort Worth, Texas is where I hail from. Bula, B-U-L-A, network.com. We're all about getting new customers, serving existing customers better, and not going crazy in the process. My name is Randy Cantrell. This is the Yellow Studio.